Well, welcome everybody. Kendi Foster here. Listen, are you being called to maybe change? Are you ready to step into your life in a bigger way and make a difference in the world? Have you realized that the world is waiting for your voice, your talent, and your gifts to be expressed in a greater way? Well, I'm hoping you said yes, because if you're saying yes to that, you're the person that is going to make positive changes in your family and your work and your community and in our nation. And I believe that if that is you, this show will change you and change how you identify with yourself forever. Listen, if you want to make a difference in the world, you have to change yourself first, right? Makes sense, okay? Because if you do, you're going to realize what is capable for you. And you are going to become one of the change makers that is part of the solution in this world. You're bringing solutions instead of being a problem maker, right? Today, I have three guests. And they not only have the courage to change themselves, they've changed everything that needed to be changed in their lives. And what they're doing now is they're changing the lives of others. I believe they'll change yours too when you listen to the show today. My first guest is an actress, singer, and songwriter, Pierre Vandeweil. She moved my heart with her message. And she is an advocate for those that are struggling. She is a person that I believe will move your heart too. My second guest is J.D. Mattekust. He's a novelist, a filmmaker, and medical activist who is revolutionizing medical education and bringing it into the 21st century. Wait until you hear about his new movie. My third guest is 29-year-old CEO and founder of the largest organic meal delivery company in the United States, employing hundreds. How did she do this? Well, you're going to find out about her mindset and how you can step into your brilliance and do the impossible too. All my guests have one thing in common. They're all in service to humanity. They have created wealth not only for themselves, but also for those that are receptive and looking to make a difference also. Their stories will move you, and I believe you will be changed as a result of listening to them today. Listen, I'll be right back with my first guest after this break. So stay
tuned. Hi, Kendi Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product. Hi, Kendi Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Season Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
All righty, here we go. The show is called The Courage to Express Your Brilliance and Change the World. Are you ready? My first guest is Pierre Vandeweil. She's a British songwriter, singer, and actor passionate about social impact and storytelling. She is the founder of her collective Stronger Than Music that promotes the importance of music and mental health and music and social impact. She has worked and performed with NGOs globally, including the Barefoot College International, Applaud Our Kids Foundation at 54 Below, the Aspire Artemis Foundation, and has sung at the United Nations headquarters in New York for the International Women's Day and at UN-sponsored events around the world. Pierre, It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you very much, Ken, for having me. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Hello, you everybody. Know,
as I told you, you know, in the green room, I listened to your new song, Used, and it just, when I heard it, I went, I have to have her on the show. Anybody that can move me so quickly with the song, honestly feel like you're an up-and-coming superstar. The lyrics, the way your voice intonations are, it's amazing. How did you start out? What happened with you? Where'd you come from?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate everything you're saying. I am, as Ken mentioned, I'm a singer, songwriter, and actor, and also the founder of my collective, Stronger With Music. And we promote the importance of music and mental health, and also music and social impact. And as an artist, my belief is to use our voices to make other voices heard. So I released this single, Use, that Ken has mentioned, in May during Mental Health Awareness Month with my fundraising initiative supporting the United Nations Trust Fund to End Violence Against Women. And what it's doing is that with music, it's utilizing a new tool to bring awareness to women and also girls that are suffering from violence all around the world during COVID-19. And as we know, during this time, we've all been asked to quarantine and isolate inside of our homes. But a home is not always a safe place. And domestic violence and abuse has increased exponentially in the quarantine timeframe. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to do my part in supporting victims of domestic abuse. So I felt very strongly that I wanted to connect this new single, Used, with this cause.
Well, when you listen to the song Used, and you can get it on iTunes, I know that's where I got it.
Spotify, Apple Music, yes, absolutely, you can stream
it. When you listen to it, you'll understand the power behind that song and how it can really bring awareness to abuse in our homes. You know, in the United States, I just read the other day, last week, up by 40% domestic abuse right now. Since the shutdown.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also in Brazil, there was a 40 to 50% increase. The Refuge in the UK, which is an NGO, there was a 700% increase in hotline calls. But they also actually found in different countries there was a decrease in hotline calls as well, which was worrying as victims might not have been able to get to the phone or be able to reach out during that time. So it's been very interesting to see how this shadow pandemic has really been living alongside COVID-19, but it has been living with us and amongst us for decades and generations before that. But now it's really come to our attention that we really have to be putting forth support for these people and for these victims. And
well, you've done an amazing job with that. And, you know, 2019, when Hurricane Doria hit the Bahamas, Abacos especially, you wrote a song called Coming Back Home, which was written to aid the humanitarian efforts. Can you tell me a little bit about what's happening now in Abacos? Because I know, that they need more. I know not just, what you're doing, but what everybody can do.
Absolutely. So, yes, as Ken said, I wrote a song in the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian called Come Back Home, the Abaco Relief Song. And actually, I released it about 23 days after the hurricane hit and destroyed the Abacos. But I have actually lived and been a part of the Abacos. The Abacos have been a home to me since I was 7 months old. So when I saw this monstrosity, this devastation occur to my friends and my family out there, I wanted to do my part in helping them. And it has been a struggle. They're still struggling in terms of having sanitation, water, infrastructure. And the actual anniversary of Hurricane Dorian is coming up on the 1st of September next week, next Tuesday. And I mean, even children have been out of school since the 1st of September last year. There is also unemployment that's over 50%, or many also continue to live in these makeshift houses with no power and water. But there are three different foundations, about 10,000 gallons a day of seawater through reverse osmosis is actually providing the only safe drinking water for these villages and for these towns. So with my song and with my video, I've really been trying to push the awareness of it. And during this year, I did receive a silver medal for outstanding achievement in listener impact at the Global Music Awards. And my anniversary music video, which will be releasing very soon, tomorrow, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So it's really a it's been selected at the Arts and Sustainability Development Goal Film Festival. It's been a finalist at the Independent Shorts Awards, and it's just been nominated for a Best Music Video at the Los Angeles Film Awards. But what I really wanted to do with this video is it's footage from my previous video that I had released, so home footage from victims of Hurricane Dorian, and also including the victims as a part of the song in my ending chorus, because I wanted to be a rally song for the Bahamians and for my friends and my family who are living out there, so they can come back home and rebuild and also not lose hope.
Well, I love that. Listen, I know this segment goes quick, so I got two more questions to ask
you. First of all,
what's the title of the new album that's coming out, so people can hear that?
Yes. Okay. So as I mentioned, the video is coming out tomorrow, which will be on my Stronger With Music YouTube channel. And it will be the anniversary edition Come Back Home Abaco Relief song.
Okay.
There will be new music coming out in November, which is very exciting, called another song called Hold You In A Month. I also have another song that actually just came out last month called Dear Mrs. So there's plenty of places where you can
hear
my music on Spotify.
Okay, listen, two things, Pierre. In November, when the album comes back out, let's connect. Let's get you back on the show.
I'd love that.
By the way, listeners, when you listen to her voice, you already know that she's the next superstar. That's why I'm saying come back on my show before you go.
Who's that guy?
I don't know that guy anymore. Come back on. I'd love to have you. Also, I want to ask you one last thing. What's your message to the world right now?
Well, really, my message to the world is we've got to continue powering forward in terms of achieving the Sustainable Development Goals so we can achieve the UN's agenda of 2030. And that's something I'm very passionate about. And it's something we can all do. Our individual actions can help build communities, societies, and we can push forward so we can actually achieve the UN's agenda of 2030. And we can all do it, whether it's through art, music, film, or innovations.
I love this collectively together. I gotta run. I gotta take my break. But Pierre van de Weyl, British songwriter, please come back. Also, make sure to get her her new song used, and also
please scream.
Come back home. You'll want to get both of those. Okay, talk to you soon, Pierre. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Come back.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, we got to take a break. All righty. I see James has put my book up there, so let me just give a quick shout out for that. This book is called The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. It's a new book. You can get it at couragetochange.us. Again, couragetochange.us.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of. There comes a time when you know you need to restart. There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life.
I'm a diabetic. I need to maintain healthy glucose levels so I can live. I'm a diabetic. I need to maintain healthy glucose levels so I can live normally and still enjoy my day-to-day life. Kirlin is a 100% natural supplement that helps me do exactly that. Kirlin promotes healthy glucose levels, energy, sleep, and proper body function. I try to make the right choices, but Kirlin keeps me controlled even if I indulge in a naughty treat here and there. It's how I plan to stick around for my family.
Get $20 off Kirlin. Visit KiraLife.com and use coupon code COURAGE.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are talking about the courage to express your brilliance and change the world. And my next guest is J.D. Mattakus. He is a novelist, filmmaker, and medical activist. He's on a mission to revolutionize medical education and bring it into the 21st century. He's the author of Final Diagnosis, No Second Chances. It's the first book in a series of five that combines his real-life knowledge of medical science with his love of fiction to create a medical drama thriller novel that actually teaches its audience about medicine. The novel has already taken life into the form of a film, which is set to premiere very soon. J.D. T.T. I missed that. I don't know where the D came from. J.T. Mattakus.
You're K.D. You're K.D. Foster. I'm J.T. Mattakus.
That's where the D came from. That's it. Yeah, J.T. All right, man. Hey, listen, it's so good to have you. How did you start on this journey? How did you get going here?
I had to be born first, but... I wanted to be a doctor all my life. Went to business school, bachelor's in business, sold pharmaceutical drugs for the evil empire. We shall not name the names, and was encouraged.
We all have to learn, JT.
We all have to, hero needs to emerge from the dark side. It makes it for a better hero story, doesn't it? And encouraged by the doctors I used to sell drugs to, medicine to be a doctor. And I said, maybe I'll give it a go. So I actually went to medical school and I got really, really ill. And I was undiagnosed for years. And I kept on going back to medical school to basically figure out what was wrong with me, unfortunately. And by the time I diagnosed myself, got cured, got treatment, found the love of my life, put medicine on hold as I'm now raising my two young children under the age of five. And I said, well, what am I going to do now? I mean, all I knew was being a student for so many years. And so I started, you know what? I'm probably going to go back to medicine. So I started teaching medicine on YouTube as a moniker, under the moniker Future Doc House. And then from there, I started writing questions for a medical question bank to help students pass their medical exams as well as their license exams. And I thought, hey, I made these questions interesting. So I started writing a novel, in a sense. in between there, I wrote a policy book about how we have a doctor shortage and how we need to increase the number of doctors and strategies on how we could do that in the government changes, the government policies and things like that. But then from there, I transitioned to writing a novel. And it started off as just a simple chapter, a fun chapter. And it got really good reviews. People liked what they read and they wanted me to write more. So it turned into a novel. And so that's how I got started in a nutshell.
Well, I love that. That's a great story, You got the new book out. It's called Final Diagnosis. This is book number one in a series of five, No Second Chances. So how did you come up with the No Second Chances? What does that mean?
Well, you don't have a second chance. When you are a medical professional, when you are a doctor, you need to diagnose the patient. You need to find that final diagnosis. Until then, it's, you know, a current diagnosis or a possible diagnosis or just a theory. But you need to finalize that diagnosis and find out what's really wrong with that patient. Otherwise, he remains undiagnosed and suffering, or God forbid, he dies. So that's why there is no second chances in this profession.
Well, you know, one of the things you're doing is revolutionizing education for the doctors, because, you know, I personally, I believe, you know, any kind of health issues that we have, it sends us on a quest to heal, right? Yes. And we have doctors to help us heal, but we have to take personal responsibility for our own healing. And I think a lot of times we put that on doctors. Oh, you need to heal me. So how are you re-educating the doctors? Let me just ask you that.
Well, what I'm trying to do is kind of be an intermediary, help doctors. For example, I'm helping medical students become doctors for one on Future Doc House YouTube channel as I'm giving lectures about medicine. But I'm also created this other YouTube channel called Med Buzzfeed, where I'm talking about medical news in layman's term, in a simplified term, and so that they can get educated on these very, very common illnesses and diseases that always come up in the news, whether it's a flesh-eating bacteria or West Nile virus or Lyme disease. It's promoted in a way where you can understand the situation and even maybe seek medical treatment and medical help if you feel like you may even have this disease or this illness.
Get that. And what about, you know, helping doctors to understand, I heard that doctors get very little training on vaccines. Very little training on, you know, protocols and how to work with people and relationship and stuff. Is that changing, JT, or do we need to change that? What's going on there?
Well, with regards to vaccines, we are heavily, heavily tested on these things. So we actually know a lot about vaccines and inoculations. And I do talk about that a lot on my channels, whether it's a lecture channel or a medical BuzzFeed channel. The other thing is that as far as the, bedside manner, it's difficult. Here's why. Because what we do is we look for the elite. We look for the best of the best, right? And say the best of the best, a genius person who becomes a doctor, right? They may be a genius and in their own right, where they know the science, they know the medicine, they can even diagnose the patient. But the problem is that their interpersonal relationship, how they communicate with other people socially, is where they lack. And that may not be something that can be, say, trained out of them because their brain works in a different way. But what we can do, I think what we can do is increase the number of doctors that are allowed to go to medical school, get their residency, and there you have a bigger, greater pool. I know colleagues where they're like, I don't even want to see a patient. I just want to diagnose them and then just leave. I'm like, well, part of treating the patient is also treating their mental situation. When you are sick, you're mentally taxed as well, not just physically taxed. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah, no, I get that. In fact, you're usually there's mental, emotional, and physical, issues that all combine into one, right? So we really do need to understand these factors. So listen, I got to take a break, but before I do, I want to let you know when I come back, I want to talk about the astronomical suicide rates of doctors and medical students right now and what we can do about that. So
let's do that.
I'll take a break. We'll be right back.
To make a difference, do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Kendi Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
If so, pay close attention, because there's an organization called Women's Wisdom, which has been assisting women business owners to not only grow their businesses, but to grow their lives since 1991. This month, their program is focusing around women growing their businesses with a international speaker, Lisa Nichols. Lisa Nichols will be speaking at the Women's Wisdom event, and I hope you can join them. You can find out more about them at womenswisdom.net. Again, womenswisdom.net. And you will also be able to grow your business if you are a woman. By the way, they do let men in there. I come in now and then. So if you're a guy and you're really moved, go ahead and join them. Also, listen, I'm so happy you're with me today. I want to thank all of the people that make this show what it is. First of all, I want to thank my sound engineer today, James Case. He's behind the scenes working. I want to thank all of my guests and all of my listeners out there for really helping promote the show like you have. You know, you've been giving us likes and subscribing on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, and we really appreciate that. So thank you. And all my AM/FM people out there, thank you so much. Listen, if you are new to the show and you want to get some of the replays, you can go to voicesofcourage.us to get all of our replays. You can always just say to Alexa, Cortana, or Siri, play Voices of Courage podcast, and it will come right up. Well, welcome back to the show. I have novelist and filmmaker and medical activist J.T. Matticus with me today. He's on a mission to revolutionize medical education and bring it into the 21st century. Well, you know, I wanted to touch on that deep subject just for a while. There's a lot of suicides, so much depression in our medical community right now. The pandemic has not helped that situation very much. So how can we help our medical students? JT, what are you doing to make it better for people?
Well, I try to bring back the joy to medicine. So for the medical students, I try to make medical education fun and entertaining. Here's the situation, right? When you're in medical school, it's like a hazing process where you have to just get through the next exam, get through the next exam, get through the license exams, and just get through that next chapter in order to become a doctor. And it's very stressful. It's very time consuming and depressing. You give up your social life. You make a lot of sacrifices to become a doctor. And so what I try to do is I try to give lectures in a way where they're short, they're simple, they're concise, and they get to the point to help you pass your exams. So that's where I'm going with the medical students. Now, if you're a professional, if you're a doctor, what I try to do is I try to give basically medical the medical BuzzFeed is encouraging the knowledge of medicine to be passed on to just normal lay people so that their lives are easier. They don't have to explain for the 100th time what the flu is or a West Nile virus is. And also, I'm trying to, as an activist, encourage the number of doctors to be created through my policy book. Is there a doctor aboard? We have a doctor shortage. This is a crisis. So if we have more doctors, it relieves the burden of the existing doctors in the field. And so right now we have doctors that are worked 12 hours a day. They're stressed. They see death every day. And it gets nerve-wracking because as doctors, you want to heal people. You want to cure people. You want to save lives. And when you find that anything and everything you do is not working, and on top of that, you've made so much sacrifices being a doctor, maybe to the detriment of your own family life, and you have high divorce rates, you maybe even turn to substance abuse, and it just goes down a dangerous path of depression and suicide. So I think the best fix is to make doctors' lives happier. And in doing so, we need to increase the number of doctors to relieve a lot of the burden, a lot of the stress from the existing doctors so that they can take a mental health day off. They can just take a sabbatical and recharge and regroup and not feel burdened that if they do take a sabbatical, that there's going to be lives in jeopardy because no one's going to be taking care of the patients. So there it is.
That makes a lot of sense. That's great. You know, it takes courage to make your life a magnificent example to others. And you've got this new movie coming out. What will the movie teach the audience?
Well, the movie actually, I try to make the movie as realistic as possible because we're touching upon real life situations, real life issues. You know, we have doctors out there that, while they are characters in the film or in the novel, they are based on real people, real life people. For example, we have one doctor who's abusing substance. We have another doctor who's just given up on the, say, doctor profession because of bureaucracy, because of policy. They just walked away from a life of service, even though they are good doctors because of that situation. So we have all these real situation, real life characters in these movie, in this novel to show to the world that, look, these are the unsung heroes, unfortunately, that they face struggles just like any one of us, anybody else. And the takeaway at the end is actually, there's really no true heroes. There's really no true villains. You know, we all are a little bit of both. And the reason why is because, in life, there are great characters. We do sometimes do things, that are villainish for the greater good in a sense.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I know I meet with a group of doctors every couple of weeks here in California and around the nation. And, you know, they're very frustrated. They're frustrated with their medical boards where, you know, state of California, if a doctor wants to give an exemption for a child to not be vaccinated, they can give five of those a year. And then they're reported to the medical board. It goes to a bureaucracy. You know, you got that kind of stuff going on. And it's sad. I feel so heartbroken for the doctors, not alone the patients, all of us, that we go to a doctor. We don't want a board interfering with what the doctor's decision is. So we're disempowering doctors along the way, which to me is wrong.
Well, that's the whole problem is the insurance companies control our lives now, not doctors. Doctors can't make decisions. Doctors, even recently, I went to the pharmacist. I said, can I get this medicine? Say, okay, yeah, that's $300. I said, I have insurance. How is this medicine $300? They say, oh, we can, you know, offer you another medicine. I say, okay, whatever. You know, now I'm hands tied because the insurance company doesn't want to pay for a medicine that the doctor has prescribed. And now I'm using something maybe less effective, generic, and less optimal. And that's just a small issue, a small disease. Imagine if it was cancer. Imagine if it was something else bigger. And insurance companies controlling your life. This is not good. This is why a lot of doctors leave the profession or have depression.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, you got medical boards. You got, you know, I talked to a doctor the other day. She said she's contacted through five or six different pharmacists here in our local city. And just wanted to see what would happen if they asked her if she could prescribe hydrochloroquine for a patient. All those pharmacists gave her a hard time and said, we're going to report you to the medical board if you do that. Now, here's a drug that's been approved for 60 plus years. And now you got this going on for a doctor who's on the front line with a patient trying to do the best job they can. You know, that stuff's frustrating for doctors. Yeah. I feel so bad for them. I really, you know, it's
a horrible.
We as patients pay the price.
We
for
do
bureaucracy for insurance companies and in government bureaucracy like this. This is not right.
It's not just the bureaucracy. It's the insurance company and the pharmaceutical industry. Okay, I worked for them. There's 400 agents to treat hypertension. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you have 400 antihypertensive agents. And they all have a place, okay? If you are, say, an African-American, you should use this drug. If you are, say, a Scandinavian of Scandinavian descent, you should use this medicine. They all have a place, just like hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine has its place. If you do not have an underlying heart disease or heart issue, you should probably give hydroxychloroquine a shot to prevent you from going into something called a cytokine storm, where you are intubated, a tube stuck down your throat, and now you're in a life and death situation. So a preventative, you know, but no doctor will talk about this. No doctor will talk about hydroxychloroquine. It's too politicized and they could lose their job.
Well, the ones that do talk about it are censored on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else. Listen, we're not a political show, so I don't want to get into that. I just, I do get into the compassion for the doctors. Jade, JT, I'm out of time, so I want to ask you one last question, two last questions. First of all, I want to know what your message to the world is right now.
The message to the world right now is you are a special and unique individual. We all are, okay? And you need to find your gifts, your goal, your purpose in life, and strive for it and go for it. This will give you happiness. This will give you meaning and joy in your life. And this is what you really need to strive for and achieve for. Do not look backwards, only look forwards.
I love that. Final diagnosis. No second chances. Where can my audience find out about this?
Amazon.com has it on Kindle as well as on paperback. So, and you can always find more information on me at jtmaticus.com.
JT, thank you so much for being here. I hope you come back and join us again.
Definitely.
It's been a pleasure, man.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
There comes a time when you know you need to
Are you out to make a difference? Do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Kendi Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
Hi, Kendi Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I am so excited to have my third guest today on the show. Her name is Laureen Aseo. She's a 29-year-old CEO, CFO, CEO and founder of the United States' largest organic meal delivery company, Fresh and Lean. She never imagined she'd be on the front lines of the pandemic when she founded her empire out of a one-bedroom apartment. I'm just blown away when I read your bio and what you've done, Laureen. I know you're working with your brother now in this business, but you started this when you're 18 years old. How does a person start at 18 years old to be able to create a multi-million dollar company?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me in that introduction. And yeah, so I started when I was 18 years old, and it really came from a place of family and a place of care. It was stemmed from my father, who was struggling with a lot of health issues due to a lot of the processed food consumption in the United States, immigrating here from France, and just the food system is just so different. So I was going to school at the time for apparel manufacturing and business management. I think being an entrepreneur was always in my blood and something that I really wanted to do from a young age. And then this opportunity really presented itself. So just really dove into it. And then after school, decided to dive into this particular business full stream after seeing really great results from my father.
Well, you know, I love the fact that it started with a noble goal, and you know, the noble goal was to help your dad and help your family. I think all great businesses are really founded on noble goals. So you were in school at the time, right, when you founded it?
I was.
What were you studying, by the way?
So I was studying apparel manufacturing and business management. I think at the time I was really, really interested in creating a line of sustainable clothing. And so that was kind of my original career path, was to branch into business, but in the apparel industry. And then went a little bit of a different way.
Were your parents entrepreneurs?
My father was. He has a background of business and consulting. And so I think that's why the entrepreneur blood was really in me. And it's something that him and I spoke about a lot growing up, whether it was about business or negotiations or just different topics. So it was always, you know, a topic of conversation growing up.
That's good, because it was kind of in your DNA, in your blood, right? Where did you find the passion to do what you do today? What lights your fire today? Let me just ask you that.
I think it's a couple things. I think number one, it's my family and my father. I would say that he is my biggest motivator, along with the rest of my family. And why I started this and why I continue to do this and why I push through is because I want to not only make sure that you know, he's good and my family is doing well, but also what benefit did him in the beginning could benefit others. So the mission of bringing good quality nutrition to as many people as possible is really the biggest motivator. And, you know, I will also say that my employees, I've been able to build a really great foundation. I have about 450 employees now that I look to as a lot more than just employees. They're family to me, and I could not do what I do without them. And so I want to make sure that every single day I'm doing my best and getting up and you know, growing the company and moving things forward for the sake of their families and their jobs.
I love that. What's the mission of Fresh and Lean?
So I would say that the mission from the beginning was providing good quality nutrition that was, you know, affordable to as many people as possible. I think there's this huge conception, which is sometimes very accurate, that eating healthy and good quality nutrition is expensive. But I think there's a lot of ways to do it where it can be very competitive with the price of going to the store. You know, time is money. Spending that time going and getting those groceries, cooking for one person or for a single portion is very, very difficult. So that's a huge mission of the company. And I think that more recently, as we go through this, redefining fast food, what does fast food mean? We have such this perception as a society, that fast food is a big corporate name. And it's not necessarily that. You know, at the foundation of it, fast food is a meal that can be enjoyed quickly. And that's exactly what Fresh and Lean is. We're convenience at the core, and we just happen to be good fuel for your body.
Well, you are good fuel for the body. I know me personally, I've been eating organic for many years, decades now. And what happens is that, you know, as we age, when you eat organic, when you get that vital energy and life force that's in those foods, what happens is you have vitality, you have energy, you have power, you have passion, your mind is on fire. It's like you strike the match and boom, it lights, right? It's not like a wet match where a lot of people's mind is like, I can barely get out of bed, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a different, it's a lifestyle though. And I, you know, it was interesting. I'll just tell you my story really quick and then I got to take a break. But my wife and I moved to Hawaii for about a year and a half or so. And we went over there, and food prices were very expensive. We'd always complained about how pricey organic was over here. But we came back, everything was on sale. Hawaii's got like three times the price that we have in the States. So everything really is on sale, and organic food is the way to go. That's all I want to say. Listen, when I get back, though, I want to talk about your mindset today and how entrepreneurs might be able to take that mindset and also some of your values and be able to apply that to their own life and their own business. And then I want to talk a little bit about how we can get the fresh and lean products and services. So I'll be right back. I'll take a quick break and we'll go to town. Listen, if you're enjoying the great content and the insights of Voices of Courage, then I encourage you to check out a few of our affiliates, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, and Talk Radio New York City. All three of these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and become the best version of yourself. You can tune in at ukhealthradio.com. talkradio.nyc and bbsradio.com. I hope you'll check them out. They are worth checking out. Also, just another really quick shout out to the Women's Wisdom Group. I know that Women's Wisdom is taking people's lives to the next level. So if you're a women business owner and you want to find out about how to be an entrepreneur, go to womenswisdom.net. Again, womenswisdom.net, and they will help you. And who knows, maybe Laureen will come in and speak at Women's Wisdom someday. All righty. I got to get back to my show. Here we go. All right. All right, I'm speaking with Laureen Aseo. She's a 29-year-old CEO and founder of the United States' largest organic meal delivery company, Fresh and Lean. And even though she never imagined she'd be running a 400-plus employee group now, somehow it had to start in your mind, Laureen. What were the values that you had, you knew you wanted to ingrain in your business and your life? Let me start there.
So I think the biggest one, and it really came from being a bootstrapped operation. We've never taken a penny of outside capital. And so growing that operation really organically, it's that element of failure is not an option. And I think that that runs true just all the way through is, look, you have to do what you have to do. You have to take risks, and those risks have to be very, very calculated. And you have to make sure that you're thinking every single thing through, because you don't have room to make a risk that might, be the one that takes the cake in a very negative way. And so I think setting that foundation is really important, not only for my business, but I think businesses as a whole. People have a tendency to be very reactive when something happens and not thinking everything through, but it really does affect every piece of the puzzle. And so that's something that I still hold true today. When I talk to different supervisors or department leaders, the different operations directors, it's, look, we have to think everything through. We have to be creative. And we have to work very, very hard to get to where we want to be. And again, failure or failing or risk or whatever it is, it can be scary, but we have to jump in and be optimistic, very positive, and creativity is huge.
Yeah. Well, I like what you're saying. And, I worked early on for a company that raised $1 million in capital, and they had all the desks and a pretty fancy drapes. And, the offices were great, but within 6 months, they're out of business because they had no clients. Did bootstrapping your business, would you say that rather than somebody coming in and giving you, let's say, $10 million in the beginning to start this, do you think that helped you form your character in the company?
Absolutely.
Or do you think you would have liked to have it the other way? If somebody had given you $10 million in the beginning, would you have been able to even handle it?
That's a really good question, and I think about that a lot. Can I sit here and tell you if things have been different with, just like you said, someone came in and handed us $10 million, would we be where we are now? I think I want to say yes, because I know who I am and how I run my business and how I like to do things. However, I can't tell you that for certain. What I can say is that the journey and the route that I decided to take absolutely built character and built me in a way that might not have been the same if I would have taken another route. So I wish I had a good answer or a crystal ball. I don't know. What I will say is that I don't regret going the way I went, even though it was extremely, extremely hard for a lot of years. And I think that as entrepreneurs, we put ourselves through a life that a lot of people, don't want to live. And I completely respect that because it is very, very difficult and it's taxing. But the one thing that is amazing that I am forever grateful for is when you get to a place where there's light at the end of the tunnel and you see, what you've been able to do, it's very, very gratifying.
That's great. Well, the pandemic has had to be a boom for your organization since everybody had to shut down and couldn't really go shopping like they used to. How has it impacted you in a positive or negative way? I don't know.
So I would say there's an element of both, right? I think on a business level, there has been a lot of increase in demand because, like you said, it's a much safer option to get your meals delivered to you. From a business perspective and things that we've had to do to make sure that the safety of our employees is upheld and then the safety of our customers continues. And of course, managing that demand and making sure that our customers do have food. I think that it's one thing for someone to order a desk online and it be delayed and there's a huge understanding behind that. But it's different when you're talking about food and something that someone needs to survive. And so I think that there's an element that we're dealing with in terms of pressure or just this added necessity that's coming from what we're doing that has been heightened during this pandemic. But I would say that we're, handling it one day at a time. We've had to do a lot of things within our own operations, like I mentioned, to keep our employees safe and just really learn through one day at a time, whether it's putting partitions on the production lines so that people can safely work next to each other, wearing face shields, increasing security, and the list goes on. But ultimately, it's what we need to do.
Has anybody gotten the COVID in the organization?
Unfortunately, yes. But we have been, and not for a long time, so knock on wood, I should say that. At the very beginning, we did have a couple, but we work very diligently with our local health department in OSHA and making sure that we're always following the CDC guidelines as well.
That's awesome. All right, Fresh and Lean. Hey, I want to order Fresh and Lean. I went on your website last night and I saw, wow, cool. I get a $20 coupon, or 20% or $20. I don't remember what it was for my first order. Yeah, what's the customer experience? Let's talk about that a little bit. And, we got people listening right now that probably aren't your customers, but want to be your customers. What would you recommend?
So it's really easy. We try to make it as easy as possible. You go on freshandlean.com. You look at the options that we have. We offer a really great variety of different diets, different sides, different snacks, and things like that. So you just pick whichever one fits your needs best, and you go ahead and place your order online, and it gets delivered directly to your door. And once you get it, all the meals are ready to eat. You can heat them right up in the microwave, and they're ready within 2 minutes or less, or 3 minutes, depending on how hot you want your meal. I personally am very impatient, so I'm watching the microwave at the two-minute mark, just opening it up, and I'm taking it with me. But I, maybe I'm biased. I love our salmon meals and our vegan meals are really good. So yeah,
I was going to ask you if you had vegan meals. I didn't see it on the site when I went there. I went organic. She's got to have vegan somewhere. So I'll have to find
that. Absolutely.
If somebody wants to order out of the country, is it available yet?
It is not available outside of the country right now. It's something that we're hoping, we're working on, we're looking at it. But as of right now, you can just get it nationwide within the United States.
That's great. Okay. So if I'm in Canada, my Canadian, you guys have to come to U.S. to get it. Sorry. Darn. Yeah. And what's your most popular meal right now? What would you say?
I would say our most popular meal plan is what we call the Protein Plus. It's a more rounded meal. It's not necessarily for any type of diet. It's definitely a lifestyle type of meal plan, but you have a carb, a protein, and a vegetable. So it's a very well-rounded meal program.
You know, keto is such a big word right now, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's keto, keto this, keto that. Are you going down that route, or where are you with that?
So we do have a line of keto meals. Like you said, it is very trendy. It's a fad. It's great. It works really well for some people. But the one thing that we wanted to make sure was integrity. And how do we keep the integrity of the meal? Keto is based on fat, but there is very bad fats that end up being harmful for your body. So we take keto and we try to do it the healthy way. You know, you're not going to find a bunch of bacon, you're not going to find a bunch of heavy cream, but you will find some good fats, some olive oils, some coconut creams, and some things like that, that we mix in there, some organic cheeses. And you know, we try our best to keep the integrity of the meal when following those diets.
I just love that. All right. I asked all three guests, I'm asking you the same question I asked the other two guests. What's your message for the world right now, Laureen?
My message for the world, I would say it's really important that we stick together. I think that as a society, we're so much stronger together. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of differing opinions, which I think it's a beautiful thing. Everyone has the right to their opinion. But at the end of the day, as a human race and as a society, I think it's very, very important that we stick together, and that at the end of the day, you know, it's human to human. So we're going through a lot right now, and we can pull through. We're very, very strong, but we're stronger together.
We definitely are stronger together. Laureen, thank you so much for being here. And her company is Fresh and Lean. I hope you all check it out, because it's got some yummy meals on there. And if you are somebody that really is looking to expand your how you order and how what you eat, this is the place to go, Fresh and Lean. Laureen, thanks so much for being here. I hope you come back, by the way. This was
thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love you.
I could have taken a million deep dives with you. You've got a mindset that a whole bunch of entrepreneurs want to go, who is she? How does she do that? So thanks so much. All righty. Well, listen, I'm going to wrap up the show here. So I hope you're enjoying our content. I hope you enjoyed our show today. You can pre-order my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything, at couragetochange.us. And I'm always interested in what you have to say. So please follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and send your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us, where you can find, and you can find all of our replays at voicesofcourage.us. Take care. Have a blessed week. We'll talk soon.